It's called Faith's Fuel. We're going to continue to talk about this whole thing about faith. And I think as we continue to build up on what it is that God wants us to, I think wants me to go after here. And today I want you to go to the book of John. And we're going to do our Bible confession, and then we'll go ahead and see if we can. We're going to be in John chapter 15. So let's see if we can do our Bible confession here. All right. Today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Now, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right, because this is not something we made up out of our heads. This is straight out of the Bible. What the Bible tells us that we can believe and understand and know that we receive through Christ and what he did. Today, I want to go to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 1 through 8. You have it? Just say amen. All right, John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you today. The word of God has spoken to us. And even as you told your disciples that they were clean through the word you had spoken unto them. Father, we pray that this word might cleanse our hearts, bring us to a full revelation of the truth of the word of God and what Jesus desires us to do. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would enlighten our hearts today, that the word would go on good ground. Help us to break up our hearts that we might receive it, that we might become all that you desire us to be while we walk this planet, that we might bring forth fruit unto you. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, today, last week I did a message called Faith's Fuel. Today, I want to continue kind of walking down this road. And if you recall, I mentioned Psalm 91, and I talked about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and how this was about abiding with God. So today, the title of my message is Abiding Faith, Abiding Faith. And what I want to do is give you my thesis. So when we get to the end, hopefully this is what I accomplish. And that is that faith that receives from God must be based on truth, or it will not produce godly results. Faith that receives from God must be based on truth, or it will not produce godly results. Now, I remember last week I talked to you about faith. And I said that faith is something that people can possess without dealing with God. Jesus in one place said, have faith in God. There are a lot of people who have faith in faith in themselves, faith in all kind of stuff. I mean, they look at many of the successful people in the world are successful because they had faith. They had confidence. Jeff Bezos had confidence that what he didn't see, that's what is out there now. And the Amazon that we see was not the one that he saw. Matter of fact, the people who saw what he saw invested. Others didn't. And the ones who didn't now wish they had. But the point is, he had faith. That had anything to do with God, and people need to understand that. There was a song many years ago, you gotta have faith, faith, faith. Faith is not something that's just connected to God, and we gotta understand that. So faith that receives from God must be based on truth, or it's not gonna produce godly results. Now, I said to you last week, I said that as a quote-unquote definition, if you look in Hebrews, and I wasn't rewriting it as much as trying to make it clear that what faith is. That faith is really being sure, we said, of what I expect, what I want to happen, being certain of what I do not see. Now, leave that up there for a minute because I want people to see it as I'm talking about it. Many times people will say, well, I have faith. I have faith that I'll get the job. I have faith that I'll get healed. I have faith that I this. I got faith about that. When really what most people have is mental acknowledgement of God's ability to do what it is they want. Faith is missing. Some people get upset. Pastor, how you going to tell me I don't have faith? Because I listened to what came out of your mouth. And what you said didn't amount to faith. Because faith is being sure of what you expect. Now, if you are not sure of what you expect because you're saying, well, I don't know what God might do, then you don't have faith that God's going to do what you expect. So then that's not faith. See, and we have to understand, God has made it clear this has nothing to do with God not wanting to help us. There are rules about the way this stuff works, and it's not that God doesn't want to help. It's not that God's not trying to get involved, but the point is there is a way, and the Bible says in one place, there's a way that seems right to a man, and the way is death. We have to understand God is trying to get us to be clear, not only is this the last stop, because once you're gone, this is it. You don't get to do this again now. You get one shot at this. And, you know, in the world we live in, we're so accustomed to reruns. You know, they rerun the series, rerun the movie, rerun the microwave. You burn it, throw it out, just cook it again. We're so used to doing it again. When regret will be standing before Jesus, hearing him say, I never knew you. We don't want to be those people, right? We want to make sure that what we're doing is based on what Jesus said. And it's so amazing when you read what Jesus said. In so many places, Jesus said things like, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Now, if he said that, y'all, you would think, you take this serious and be like, okay, Jesus, look, I'm not looking for the Broadway. I'm not looking for necessarily the crowd to follow. I'm trying to find the way so I can make sure I get through that needle. Because once I close my eyes, ain't nobody getting in that casket with me but me. They might pass by. Everybody going to say nice things. And it could be a whole crowd of people in here. It don't matter because I'm wherever I am then, and there's no reruns, no rewrites. So now that I'm here, the question is, what is it that I expect? So if a person told me, I'm not sure if I died, if I'd go to heaven or not. Well, I'd say you don't have faith in Jesus. That's where I would start. You don't have faith in Jesus. If you're concerned today, you really ain't sure. Because sometimes people say to me, Pastor, you be bragging too much. You too sure. I ain't sure. I'm just telling what Jesus said. Jesus said, faith is being sure of what you expect. I expect to go to heaven. Not because I'm good, but because Jesus died and Jesus said, I paid the price. Jesus said, if you put all of your faith in what I did on that cross, I promise you the Father will let you in. Do the will of God, which is believe on me. But only me, not your works, not what you're doing, not the devils you cast out, not the people you gave, love, none of that. Oh, I don't care about none of that right now. That's just works that are produced by your faith. Now that God has saved you and you're excited about it and glad and the Holy Spirit is in your life producing faith, producing works, that's great. But I'm talking about faith now to be saved. Yes, I'm willing to die and I know I'm going to heaven. Because it's not about how much I pray, how much I read the Bible. It got nothing to do with none of that. It's about Jesus saying, well done for himself. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when Jesus died, he had faith that God would raise him again from the dead. So the Bible says we live through the faith of Christ. Jesus was the one who had the faith now. Jesus is the one who lived the perfect life and laid down his life, believing the Father that what? He's going to bring him back and make him the savior of the entire world and sit him on his right hand, which God did. And now what? We believe in that. So I have faith. I am sure of what I expect. When I die, I expect to go to heaven. I'm sure of it and I'm certain, even though I ain't seen it yet. So now when you say I'm sick, Pastor, I got faith God going to heal me. Now let's talk about that then. Do you really? See, do we really? And it's not about beating nobody up. See, everybody gets it confused. They'll say, you're beating up on people about not having faith. No, I'm not. That's like me telling you, you tell me your car ran out of gas or your car won't start. And I say, you got any gas? And you look at me like, really? And I'm like, but did you check? And then all of a sudden you check and realize your car empty, right? It's on E. Well, no wonder it won't start. It don't have no gas, right? Well, I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you, did you check the gas? I'm just going through the things that you check to make sure why your car won't start. Did you leave your lights on? Maybe if you turn it and nothing's happening. But if you turn it, see, there's certain things you can diagnose. If you turn it and it's trying to crank, but it won't, maybe it doesn't have gas. It could be some other thing. But if you turn it and nothing happens, you might want to look over there and see if your light switch is still on because you might have left your lights on. Your battery's just dead. There are lots of things you could diagnose. All right, so it's the same thing. If the scriptures say, and we're going to use the Bible. Y'all all right with the Bible? Okay, we're going to use the Bible. Now, if you look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. Let's look and see what it says. All right, put it up there. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Do you have this confidence? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, y'all, that's the Bible. See, if I keep telling y'all, if you found a book that said R.C. White on it in the front of it and this was in it, then you could doubt it. You could question it because you could say, well, White, I don't know about all that. Well, I didn't say it. God said, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. All right, so first of all, no more of that stuff about what? I ain't so God hear me. I'm praying, unless you ain't praying according to his will. Then you're right. Maybe your prayers are hitting the ceiling. Maybe they are staying on the floor. Maybe God didn't hear them. But there's only one reason God doesn't hear our prayers. Other than that, God says if you pray according to his will, you can have confidence. So that's why I tell people, sit there, he's like, he bragging. No, I'm not. I'm doing the word. I know God heard me. How you gonna say that? Because God told me he heard me. See, you know, that's like me standing here saying I'm here, and you're like, you ain't there, Pastor. I'm standing here. No, you're not. I refuse to believe you're standing there. Okay, if you say so, maybe I'm here. God said it. You can have confidence. Get your confidence up, not in yourself, but in God. Be bold about it. I know God heard me. I know my Father heard me. Why? Because I asked something according to his will. Next verse, and I know I'm getting it. You know why? Because I know if he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. See, this will just make you stop for a while and have to say, okay, now, we said this last week. Either God just likes to exaggerate about himself because he can't compete with the devil. You know, the devil got all that good stuff he's doing out there, all that sin and pleasure. So God got to, like, come up with something to try to get us to follow him, right? So he says stuff like, have confidence, I heard you. And if you ask me according to my will, I'll give it to you. Right, God, sure you will. I haven't got what I've been asking. Why haven't I got it? Well, okay, it could be several reasons. But let's go to James chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 1 through 4, because sometimes we're asking questions and we're just not bothering to look. You know, I heard somebody say this the other day. They said, you know, there are a lot of men out there and people who are willing to die for the truth. He said, but very few of them willing to spend the time to figure out what the truth is. And it's so much more dramatic to die for the truth. I'm going for the truth. I'm marching for the truth. I'll burn your house down for the truth. I'm for the truth. I ain't spend no time studying to know what the truth is. Telling this yesterday, I said, if you go back and listen to all the speeches between Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, and all the rest of them I was able to come up with, and you go study all the speeches, you ain't heard nothing new today. Nothing new going on right now, and there's a moment we in with everybody talking about justice and rights and all this stuff. Go back and listen to some stuff. Learn. They say the people that don't know history are always doomed to repeat it. You're just running around like a little hamster on the wheel. That's why the older people looking at you crazy, because they're like, look, I remember that from 65. You just happened to take a clip from Malcolm X. You didn't go read the whole thing and listen to it all. So somebody took a clip and manipulating your mind. Somebody took a clip from over here manipulating your mind, because everybody got a plan as to what they want out of this. They ain't concerned about Jesus. They're not concerned about truth. They're not concerned about you. What they're concerned about is growing their own stature so they can be the leader of something and of somebody. when God said it's the truth that'll make you free. So stop dying for stuff and start studying. Now, what did God say in James? Look what God said. From whence come wars and fightings amongst y'all? Come they not hence even of your lust, your desires, that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your desires. This ain't got nothing to do with God back there where we said petitioning God so that what? His will can be done. No, I'm praying for my own desires. Then the next verse, what does he say? You adulteress. Oh, my God. If somebody walked with you and said that to you, you know you want. I want to slap you in the mouth. If you walked up to me and just said, you adulterer, I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you yet. Now, think about it. That's some hard language, y'all. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. So God done set down the gauntlet. Say, I don't know what y'all think going on out here. But the reality is, I am not friendly with the world. They ain't my friend. They don't like me. The world don't like me. And I ain't necessarily disliking them. But they are my enemy. They are my adversary. The world is not on my side. So if you're praying such that when it's over, your prayers will line you up with the world, you have made yourself an enemy. It's like you're supposed to be married to me. And you sleeping around. Adulterer, he says, adulteresses. Don't you know he's talking to the deacons and the deaconesses? Why he say adulterers and adulteresses? You know, everybody want to be a prophet and prophetess. Okay, we can adulterer and adulteresses. Let's wear that title for a minute, huh? Yeah. So God says, look, I need you to understand something. I'm trying to shoot straight. Now, in James, this is what he says. In James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, look at this. This is what he says. He says, now, I'm going to need you to understand something. And this is anything. If you lack wisdom, you can fill the blank in with anything. You'll see it in a minute. If you lack healing, you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God ain't going to get mad, and it shall be given to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So one minute I'm asking God to bless me, and I'm believing it. Then the next minute I just don't know. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Because look what happened. We don't care about what happened. We ain't looking at that. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. Well, Pastor, this happened and you don't understand. That's why I can't believe it. That is the problem. Stop focusing on that. So-and-so say they was going to get healed and they died. What that got to do with you? Yeah, but they was believing God. Okay, well, if you say so, what you're basically doing is saying that God then, that was his will. Okay, well, if you want to live like that, you go right ahead. And whatever version of the Bible you're using, keep using it. I suggest you get in the real one. Get in the real Bible. Well, Pastor, but look at what's happening. That's my point. You should be able to look at reality and realize when it ain't lining up with the word. That's when you know faith, for some reason, is not operating. Because God is the one who gave us these expectations. Jesus is the one who cursed the fig tree at the root. And then came back, and when they were amazed, he didn't say, I did it because I'm Jesus. He said, have faith in God. Whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall receive whatsoever he saith. Well, thank you, Jesus. But he ain't gonna receive whatsoever he saith if what he saith is a lust that's after the world. Because God said, I don't hear them prayers. I hear the prayer according to my will, and that's the one I answer. So all I got to do is make sure I get where he want me to get with that. Now, I want you to think about something. Remember my thesis now. Faith that receives from God must be based on truth. So first of all, if you're going to say, well, I'm praying for something I'm desiring from God, I know it's God's will, well, then you should be able to find it in this book. Anything else that people tell me or that I'm believing or that I say I heard, I kind of give it suspect. You know, I mean, we dream dreams. People say, I had a dream. I know it was God. Okay, well, if you say so, great. But if you can't find it in that book, then I'd be suspect. Any dream I have, any thoughts I got of my own, I'm a little suspect all the time because I can't directly say God said he'd do that. See, so I take those with caution. But the ones God said, oh, I jump in both feet and hold on because in God, every promise is yes and amen. So let's talk about what we just read. What did God say to us? What did Jesus say? Let's go back to John chapter 15. Jesus said out something. He didn't say, I want you to think this about me. This is what he said. Verse 1, I am. All right, I am. I am, I am, I am. Y'all know what I am mean? I am mean I is. And nobody else is. I am. I am, Jesus said, the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Now, the husbandman is like the farmer, the one that's making sure it grows. Jesus says, I'm the vine. Now, y'all got to listen to this now. The world is filled with people dying and going to hell. And happy about it. They really think they know what's going on. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. And the devil is out here deceiving all kind of people with all kind of stuff. And people say, yeah, but they happy. Okay. That's what the Bible say. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But let me tell you, when winter come, when summer come, when fall comes, spring, and the seasons change, you know it changed. So the Bible says there is pleasure. God don't deny that. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But when the season's over, it's over. So I suggest we get with the truth, right? Look at what he says in verse 2. This is the truth. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. All right, now stop, y'all. What part of that? You don't need no Greek words. I looked them up. That's exactly what it means. So if God was a farmer and you were a branch on the vine of Jesus and you don't bear no fruit, he take it away. He takes it away. He just takes it away. Wow. Okay. I don't want to be that one. I ain't trying to be a branch that don't bear no fruit. Then look at what he says next. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Oh. So now, if you're bearing fruit, this might make you feel better. You say, oh, Pastor, so many things happened in my life. I got it. But remember, we need abiding faith. If you want the end results that you're really looking for, all right, because remember what Jesus said. If anybody could come to me, you don't impress me. I'm like Paul said, look, don't nobody, God don't take nobody person. The bottom line is you could gain the whole world and lose your soul, Jesus said. So you can't bring me nothing that impresses me if it ain't the word of God. Well, he became this. I wouldn't care what you became. Jesus already said you could own the whole world and lose your soul. How is that possible? So if that's possible, then we ain't impressed that you gained something, you got something, you look like you materialistically moving along. Still could die with all your little stuff and end up in hell and lost your soul. Oh my God, we don't want to be them people. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me. No more can you, except you abide in me. Jesus is saying, look, if you don't abide in me, you will never bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, y'all know what's going to happen, right? You get taken away. Am I clear? You abide, you bear fruit, or you don't. If you don't bear fruit, you're taken away. If you bear fruit, you're purged. If you don't abide in Jesus, you can't bear fruit. So you're going to be taken away. So it sounds like we need to be abiding in Jesus for sure. Abiding means dwelling with, spending your time with, making sure that that's where all of your loyalty, your joy, your everything comes from, Christ. That's why I told y'all last week that when my wife and I went to Hawaii, we did everything together. Okay? I mean, I didn't get up and say, look, this is my day. I'm out of here. And I just left, right, and did my thing. We did everything together. Went to breakfast, dinner. That's what it means to abide. You don't look at them and say, look, you know, I've had all I can stand today. Like Popeye, you know, I had all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Can I just? We don't want to be that way with Jesus. I mean, you don't want to be like, look, I done had enough word. I'm tired of praying. Lord, I pray all the time. All I do is read the Bible. I mean, come on now. See, if you feel like that about Jesus, you have to understand, obviously, you don't really want to abide with him. We still have failed to recognize the truth that this is the way out of here. Y'all understand? Ain't but one way out of here. It's a grave. But Jesus is waiting on the other side if what? You go out the right way. But there ain't but one way out of here. And we all going. I ain't met nobody else. That even Methuselah went at 900 something, but he went. All right? Ain't but two that ain't went. Elisha and Enoch, and the Bible's telling us it's appointed that every man wants to die. So something going to go down. Either Jesus is going to come back and get us all, like the Bible says, you know, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. We won't all sleep. But the reality is, more than likely, if he doesn't come back, we're all checking out of here. Let's talk about pruning. I said, let me go and look this up. He said he purges it. He purges it. I said, man, I'm just interested in this. So I went up and looked up pruning and purging. What happens? This is the ABCs of pruning. The ABCs of pruning. Now, remember this now. If you in Jesus as a branch and you bearing fruit, he's going to prune you. So get ready. Now, if you got faith, then you won't be upset with the pruning. Because he said, I'll prune you and you'll bring forth more fruit. So if you want to be fruitful and you want to bring forth more, then you just set your feet and get ready for the pruning, but know that what? Something good is coming out of this. I ain't letting the devil make me turn around just because God done started clipping on me. ABCs of pruning. Let's talk about A. A first is for assess. The first thing that the farmer or tree cutter does is walks around the tree to assess its condition. So God's walking around, y'all looking, going, okay, now I know you think you got it together. And I understand you're doing pretty good. You're bearing some fruit. Let me see. Okay. Now, he's never the pruner talking to the tree. The tree ain't got nothing to do with this. The tree don't get to decide what's going to get cut. I'm going to put this tree right here. What's going to get cut and what's not going to get cut? What's going to be gone and what ain't going to be gone? What's finna be clipped and what's not finna be clipped? The assessor does that. That's God through the Holy Spirit as he's looking at our life. You're bearing fruit. This is where most people get upset because they were doing something and things were going good for God, they thought, and then bam, something happens and they're like, I can't. And if they meet somebody that doesn't understand, they like Job's friends and they start saying stuff and you start doubting God. When God's like, don't do it. So I'm assessing. Now, let's go to B. Ugh, it starts getting to be a problem. B is the bad branches. All right, let's talk about them bad branches. Bad branches on a tree are branches that are dead. Branches that are damaged, branches that are diseased. And what you think got to happen to them? They got to come off. They got to come off. If you're bearing fruit and the assessor walks around the tree and he looks at the tree and he says, when spring comes again and it's time for this tree to start growing, that is a disease. Branch. If I leave it in there, it's going to contaminate this tree. It's going to probably, possibly even kill it. The tree won't grow to its full potential. The tree can't become all that it ought to be. This tree will never grow as tall as it can because this thing is diseased. And I need to get this off here. Ah! What was that in your life? Something diseased. Could be a relationship. Now, don't go home, tell your husband, pastor say, cut you off. Now, if y'all, especially if you married now, we got to deal with this different. But there might be some boyfriend or girlfriend you got, could be a disease if you ain't married yet. Now, I'm not saying go cut them off either. Just listen to pastor first. Let me get it all out my mouth before you do something. But it could be that. It could be somebody in your family. I mean, they're relatives sometimes, y'all. I'm just saying they ain't all saved. Now, we want them to get saved, but we need to pray for them people. Because there's just something about the way life works. I don't know why it's this way. But if you hang around bad folks, you don't tend to get good. You tend to start doing what they do. That's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Hang out with people like yourself or better. People who at least read the word. Even if they don't understand it, at least they're reading it. At least you know you ain't walking up in the bad person next to you hook up with. They whole life is based on Harlequin. Romance novels and the stories on TV. And did you see what happened to Millie this time on Days of Our Lives? I can't believe that Raymond did that to her. Cut it off. See, sometimes God's like, that's a disease. That ain't going to do nothing but contaminate you. Then there's some stuff that's just dead. You can look in your life and be like, man, ain't nothing happening with that. That's because it's dead. Cut it off. Just cut it off. Well, you don't have to cut it off. I tell you who will. See, self-pruning is much better. If the tree could just say, okay, I got to let this go, versus holding on to it and having to have it cut off. But God's going to prune it. He says, I'm going to prune it. If you're bringing forth fruit, he's going to do it. So he cuts it off. So we got dead branches, diseased branches, and damaged branches. You know how sometimes you're in a relationship with people maybe and something happens. You know what I'm saying? You were doing good. Everything was cool. We love this relationship. It ain't got to be a romantic one. Just friends or whatever. Then they do or say something crazy. And you feel betrayed or whatever else it is. And then that little branch go like this. Now, it ain't diseased. Okay? It's not dead. But it's damaged. And this is why at times God says many times we have to think about what's going on in relationships. He says if somebody's offended you, he didn't say cut them off. He said go to them. Try to win your brother back or your sister back. Now, if you can't, fine, you know, but at the same time, sometimes it's just damaged. It's not that it's dead or diseased, but sometimes, remember what I said about truth? Some people are dying for truth instead of learning it. I'm sick of her. I'm just going to cut off. Ain't nobody going to be talking to me like that. See, that's a damaged branch. That branch don't need to be cut off. You're going to cut that branch off and cut off something you need in your life. You know what I mean? It's crazy that sometimes people just think it just cut people off like ain't nothing. Been around you 20 years. Don't matter. Because of something that I said that was just the truth, and you know it was. And now you mad at me. I've been having to tiptoe around you for 19 of them. Thought in year 20 I could tell you the truth. I thought, man, look, I know you enough, Jimmy, now I can say it. Then you said it and pow! Ooh-wee! Damaged branch. Let it heal it, you know? God knows what those are, but God, he brings them to your attention, though. And, you know, that's why you try to pray, and everything you keep hearing about that, you're like, whatever. And you go back to pray, and this thing keep popping up in your mind, and you're like, why do I keep thinking about that? That's the Holy Spirit trying to help you with possibly a damaged branch, you see. And so why? Because he wants to bring forth more fruit in your life. He's not trying to let you be the mat to get walked on. They done walked over me for the last time. No, they haven't. God's about to let them do it again. But he's building you. He's building you. You got to see it that way. God's building me. God ain't trying to hurt me. God's building me. Look at what happened to Jesus. Look at what happened. Now, Jesus was perfect. They crucified Jesus. My goodness, what are you expecting? What you looking for out here? That's the thing. Jesus said, look, the servant is not above the master. The more powerful you get, the more powerful you get in the word of God, the more powerful you get with the Holy Spirit, the more the world will resist that spirit. But they can't. But if you don't manage these disease branches and the dead ones and all, your fruit will be limited. Now, remember what I said. There's never a tree that says, hey, I'm just going to grow to half my potential. But humans do it all the time by choice. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It was a choice, a decision. And that's what makes us different from the animals and the bushes and everything else out there in God's kingdom. We get to choose. You say, no, sir. I'm leaving here 100% grown. I'm leaving here a real full man. That's my intention. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I want to die being a real man, a man that knows how to say he's sorry when he need to be, a man that know how to stand on what he believe when he need to stand, and a man who know how to back down when he need to back down because you're wrong. I want to be correct. I don't want to just be doing what I want to do. Well, look, it don't matter what you say. This is what I believe, and I just believe it. Well, where'd you get that? It don't matter where I got it. I just believe it. Oh, my God. Come on now. That's not how God wants us to be as people. And then finally, seed is competing branches. Now, most people don't understand this. In a tree, if you look at a tree, there's really one real lead branch. Go look at trees. There's one real lead branch. But then when the time comes, there are these branches that really are competing with that branch. They're competing for the sunlight. And you'll see them, they start going off like this maybe, but they racing to try to get in front of this one. But this is the lead branch. The pruner cuts them off. All right, now, yeah, listen to me. Competing branches compete with the leader. And they become candidates for removal or reduction. Y'all know what reduction is? Make them smaller. Now, watch this. Some people say, see, that's Pastor about to tell everybody he the leader in here. They don't need to be competing with him. No, Pastor's going to tell y'all, ain't but one leader. And when any of us get to competing with Jesus, oh, you finna get lopped off. Or at least you a candidate for reduction. Okay? Bottom line is, there ain't but one leader. And as Jesus is purging and the Father is purging, he's like, yeah, I know you popular and I know everybody love you and I know they think you got good word and you got this and that, but you ain't nobody. Jesus is the only one that died on the cross, the only one can welcome you in, the only one who has the power to do what needs to be done in your life. You can't compete with him. Them people like you too much. You a candidate for reduction. Now, people might say, yeah, but look at all the people still around. That ain't got nothing to do with reduction. Reduction has to do with things like your ability to contact God. You ain't feeling the peace. Haven't y'all heard? I read it the other day about a pastor. They had 3,000-something members. He committed suicide. How you commit suicide? You got 3,000 members. Because it ain't got nothing to do with that. When you don't have no peace and the devil take over your mind and he start manipulating you and coming against you like that, you can't save yourself. You can't pull yourself out of that spiral down. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And if you get too big for your britches and you all of a sudden you got stuff that's going on and you competing with the leader, you are setting yourself up for a possibility of either reduction or removal. Does it mean you went to hell? No, I don't believe all that. People say, well, you know, people commit suicide, they got to go to hell. Now that ain't in the Bible. And the only reason people say it is because of a way that they use corollaries. You know, if you sin and ask God for forgiveness, he'll forgive you of your sin. But if you don't ask him to forgive you, he can't forgive you of your sin, and then that means you die and go to hell. So if you killed yourself and killing yourself is a sin, how can you ask God to forgive you? So you have to go to hell for that. Well, first of all, everybody kill themselves, don't kill themselves immediately. What about them? I mean, what if I gave myself too much medicine, all of a sudden I realized I can't get to the phone? And the whole time I'm going, oh, Jesus, this was the wrong thing. Please forgive me. Can I go? What if I jump off a bridge? What? quiet on the way down. I go, this was the dumbest thing I should have ever done. Nobody seems to think about what's happening from the time you left the bridge to the time you're going down. It's like, oh, Jesus, this was stupid. Please forgive me. Pow, you're dead. Did I go? The thief on the cross, he was there, and he said, in that last moment, and Jesus said, you'll be with me today. I suggest you just leave that alone, is what I'm saying. You know, because if you've produced that much fruit and then all of a sudden, boom, I don't know what happened. Maybe you just became a candidate for reduction. Maybe you had to be removed. Maybe you were getting so full of yourself, the Lord already understands it's your time. Just come on now. I don't know, but it ain't for me to judge. Let me tell you what I've learned about things that we don't understand. Stop trying to enroll in them classes. Pastor, what? That ain't in the Bible. Stop. I don't teach that class. You know, when you go to Southern and to the law school, they got classes that I teach. All of us, they got a list of classes. Then you come and say, can we have a bank rolling? We don't do that here. They might teach that somewhere. In some religion, they'll teach you why God did this, why God did that, why God, why God, why God. In some places, God said, I am the potter, you are the clay. I do what I want to do. God said, if I was hungry, I ain't going to ask you for food. So leave God alone. God ain't tell me why he take it away. He just say it. He purges it. So you can bring forth more fruit. So we see then here the ABCs of pruning. So I have to understand this thing about faith. Faith, then, now let's go back to what we had said that definition was. And we're talking about abiding faith. Now when these things are happening to me, I got to be able to say, wait a minute now. I don't care what anybody says. I know God. That's what you got to say. I don't care what anybody says, I know God. Why do you know him? Because you know the word. You know the word. We ain't talking about you just know this ethereal dream God you having. I'm talking about what the word says. I know God. And I know then that I'm bearing fruit, which means then I should expect some purging. God's going to assess my life. Usually during communion, he tells me to assess it. He says, judge yourself. So I don't have to judge you. But I'm assessing myself. I see things that need to be changed. I got some bad attitudes about this and that and the other. There's some people I talk to that their attitudes are just off about some things. God's got to fix that. You can't get to be as tall a tree as you're going to be with that bad attitude. That attitude might be diseased even. It's hindering your life. Or there's a dead thing in your life that you need to just move on. Some of you got a job, got a business, got some other stuff. Who knows? Don't go cut nothing off yet. See, that's why my business ain't growing. Pastor told me to cut it off. I ain't tell you that. What I said was, it could be business, it could be relationship, it could be lots of things. Pruning it, God may prune it off. Am I competing with Jesus? See, some people don't realize they're really competing with Jesus. Even in their own lives, they're competing with Jesus. They got their own plan, their own desires, their own goals, their own ministry. And I understand, wait a minute, stop. This is all about Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't mind flipping a little glory on us because he's our husband, the Bible says. What good husband doesn't want his wife to look good? I mean, seriously, any man that walk around and his wife look raggedy, something wrong with him. Something just wrong with him just because something wrong with him. That's like driving around in your car bragging about it when your car raggedy. Now, Pastor, better be careful here. You can wash any car, all right? Just because it's old don't mean it got to be raggedy. All right, so let's be clear. Pastor didn't say, because your car old and raggedy. I didn't say that. I said raggedy. And carrying things in a way that aren't unkept, and they're not, you could tell attention is not paid to them. No detail given to it. Doesn't have to be new. Clean it up. Well, how you gonna walk around, you know, your wife ain't got no decent clothes, and every time I see you, you got a fancy suit on, looking all good. All that's gonna do is make me think something wrong with you and her. Well, I really love him. You're crazy, I would say. I would just say that you're crazy. Girl, you better get you a suit. I said, look, every time I see him, he got one. You better get you one. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. Okay, fine. So Jesus never said he had a problem sharing. What he ain't gonna do is give up his position. He is the head. Jesus is the head, not me. I can't compete with him. But if it gets to a place where anything I'm doing is competing with him, I'm going to get pruned, right? So I got to have this faith to abide in Jesus. And the question is, what do I expect? Now watch this. God, throughout his word, will give us stuff to help us. In one place, it says, consider the ant, thou sluggard. Now remember what I said, we reap. We sow what we reap, the Bible says. We sow and then we reap. We sow and then we reap. And I said, look, I'm going to stay off of money because I don't even want to talk about money. Let's just talk about life, sowing and reaping. Now, I was listening to somebody on TV yesterday. They were talking about all the marginalized people in the community. And I ain't trying to make light of this because there are some, study truth, that are marginalized in the community. But there were some, say, for instance, they go to school and the teacher tell them what to do, huh? And instead of doing what the teacher say, they do what they want. Teacher say, can you study this math? I don't even make no sense. What I'm doing math for? Because you need to know how to add. Now, I know some people believe they could just grow up. Don't even go to college. Forget high school. I ain't even got to go there. And then go in the world and everything going to be all right. Somehow people just going to see the dynamics of you and give you money, give you fame, give you fortune, and take care of you. So y'all want to tell me everybody out there in the cold, every single one of those people out there on the streets are out there simply because the world didn't give them a break? Every one of them? Can we find a few that might have been the class clown? Can we find a few who maybe when you told them to go do their homework, they decided, I ain't doing that? That when you told them, consider the ant and look and see how this works, instead of that, then, I ain't worrying about that. I know what I'm going to do with my life. And it just didn't go like that because you don't have nothing that backs that up. That's like a tree just saying, I'm just going to grow. Nobody has to prune me, pay attention to me, or nothing. I'm just going to grow. With all your little diseased branches, dead branches, and other stuff, you're never going to reach your potential without somebody tending to that tree. No different than a child. So if I were to ask him today, you, sir, look at me. If I were to say to you, you want to grow up and have a good life? That looked like a yes. You want to grow up and be able to take care of yourself? Do you eventually want to move out of his house? Now, don't you answer. I don't want you to think your daddy trying to put you out. Do you eventually want to get up and get out of his house and have your own? And your own car? And your own stuff? And if you want a family, fine. And if you don't, that's fine, I guess, in my mind right now. But you want your own stuff, right? And you want to be able to take care of yourself, right? Do you want to be on the street? Do you want to be begging me? I drive up and you say, you was my pastor. Can I get something? Now, I ain't making fun of them people right now. I'm talking to you. Do you want to be any of that? All right, so you want to grow up and be able to do all that, right? Okay, well, you're going to have to sow it, sir. One day at a time. 1 second at a time. Because if you don't, you will look up, and 5 years from now, you're going to be 5 years later down the road and either 5 years smarter or 5 years dumber. I'm just saying, I ain't say dumb, dumber. Because right now, you don't know a lot. You know what you know. But if you don't do nothing to sow toward growing, sow toward understanding, sow toward learning, sow toward being somebody, you're not going to be that. Don't let the devil lie to you because it don't work that way. He try to play with people's head. You can run the streets, don't listen to your parents, sneak out the window, go do what you want, and some kind of way it's going to be all right in your life. Boy, don't let him do it to you. You're going to have to sow your way there. The Bible says in one place, consider the ant. This is what God said. Why would God tell me to consider ants? When you're talking to your children, that's what you ought to say. Come with me. Where we going, Daddy? We're going to consider some ants. Sit here, son. Look at that ant. Daddy, why are we doing this? This is dumb. No, it's not. If God told me to do it, we ain't calling nothing God said dumb. What you see that ant doing? Well, first of all, he's on the move. Ant ain't sitting around waiting on nobody to do nothing for him. The ant is on the move. When is he on the move? Whenever he can. When the weather is hot enough that he can get it. That's why he show up at every picnic. Coming to get y'all stuff. You notice how they call up the tree? Coming back down. On the picnic table, going back across. What they doing? Working. See, for the ant, he's always thinking winter when it's summer. Don't get caught in the winter talking about, I wasn't ready. How you ain't ready? God done told you what to do. Consider the ant. Well, Pastor, everybody can't have. Ants, everyone was told to consider the ant. Look at him. What he doing? He working when everybody else playing. See, it's summertime. See, it's summertime. See what I'm saying? Listen to me, son. It's summertime. The ant is working while everybody else playing. But when the winter come, the ant got all his stuff stacked. Then people won't say, "Don't lucky ant. I've been marginalized. We should just raid the ant's colony." Yeah, that's right. We'll take from the ant and give to the others who did not what? They was just marginalized. They didn't have a chance to work.
You ain't had no chance to work. Right now, they got signs everywhere in all over the country. Help needed. Help needed. Help needed. Help wanted. People closing early because they can't find nobody to work. But you got all these people that ain't got nowhere to go. Well, we know where they ain't going. To work. Because the people are over there looking for them. We'll give you $10 an hour, they say. $10 an hour? You ain't seen no money your whole life. You'd rather stand up here and ask me for $10 instead of going down there where the people told you and come to work. And people say, well, you know, everybody can't get a job. Today, look, they give everybody a job. These people closing early because they say they can't find the people. What? I mean, when I grew up, I umpired baseball games when I was 16 just to make a dollar. Anything to try to make some money. Worked at McDonald's as a manager. Worked at McDonald's as an employee. Worked at anything I could do to try to bring in a few dollars. But today, everybody either wants to be a rap star, a professional basketball player, or just an influencer on Instagram. And YouTube. Let me tell you, you know, they come on and say, yeah, you want to know how to make $10,000 a month without ever doing anything? I invested in the stock market, and I'll tell you how my stock went from $1 to whatever. And they fail to understand that's because the Federal Reserve pumping money. Eventually, I'm telling you, that train coming down as fast as it went up, and they're going to be standing there looking crazy. I lost my whole stimulus check. Somebody told me to put it in the stock market, and it went up. Now it's gone. Yeah, that's how it works. Just stick around long enough. Like I said, people want to, they'll die for the truth. They just don't want to learn it. They don't understand it. Spend time studying it. There's no one. Folks, people look at me. I said, I didn't get here. I didn't get a master's degree and a law degree and other degree and all that stuff because I sat at my house. I had to go to work. I had to go to school. I had to sit there and take tests. Oh, Pastor, you just don't understand. Oh, I understand. I understand it. I had to do it. You have to believe. But look, I knew God. You can do it. I expect you to do this in my life. Yeah, but then God's like, okay, put faith back up there. I understand you got faith you're going to get out of school. I understand you got faith you can finish in the top of your class. That's all wonderful. But let me tell you how you're going to do it. Go consider that ant. I remember some time when I used to sit, and our law school was not too far from the Detroit River. And you literally could see the boats, people sailing, having a good time, while I'm in here studying. And I would say to myself, why are you doing this anyway? See, that's how them little
diseasely branches and them things creep in your life, because God got some way trying to grow you. But if you let that thing creep in there, all that, well, why am I even doing this? What's the point? Look at all these people out here having fun. You could die at any time. You know, that's how they got to say, you know, you better go smell the roses. And now people still smelling roses and ain't got no nothing to take care of themselves. Ain't even got the roses left. And folks, this is not everybody. I'm willing to deal with you and say, there's a group of people, Jesus said, you'll have the poor with you always. But I'm telling you, there's a group of people, they just need to understand. And some of them are coming up in school right now. That you playing, and you don't know, people talking about, well, they got an app for that. Well, who you think made the app? The smart people. Look, you want to be on the side with the smart people. I ain't say you had to go to college. I said the smart people. The smart people who go to work. The smart people who make money. The smart people who put it away. The smart people who do what God said. Your education is only going to become whatever it is you sow into it. Your finances will only come whatever you sow into it. Anything you're doing, your relationship. Man, my marriage is terrible, you say. Well, okay, what you sowing? Did you go read any books? Did you do anything about your attitude? Ain't nothing wrong with my attitude. Well, that ain't what your wife says. That's not how your husband feel about it. You know what I'm saying? But they don't matter. They don't count. Well, they the only other person in the marriage. I couldn't interview nobody else. I could interview all your friends. They say, oh, she's wonderful. Well, husband don't claim to think so. So if we're talking about your marriage, you need to talk to your husband, and you need to talk to your wife, and we need to figure out what's going on with that. It doesn't matter that everybody that knows you thinks you're wonderful. What that's going to get you for the marriage right now. We're talking about the marriage, the two people that got to deal with each other. They got to deal with each other. I understand everyone else thinks both of y'all are wonderful. What do they got to do with your marriage to each other? You're going to have to sow toward doing what? Correcting that. God may be assessing it. He's going to have to cut something off because he wants it to be more fruitful, right? That's how it is. But it's about what? Faith. Think about this now. I'm sick, I say. It's like, oh, I'll use myself as an example. I told you, I said, look, okay, I'm going to try to live as long as I believe that God is willing to let me live. I saw Moses got to live to be 120, so that seems reasonable within the time frame we're in. They just had a man, he died, he was 112, the oldest World War II veteran. Other people making 100, Betty White made her like 99 with 100. Everybody seemed to be getting, that seemed reasonable then. Well, then why I can't get it? And people look and say, well, Pastor, you just don't know. That's why. What you mean you don't know? God said if you dwell in a secret place and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, he said, I will give you long life. So now I'm like, oh, okay, God, you know, I want that. Now I don't want it to consume it upon my lust. I promise you, God, you're not going to find me every week in Hawaii. You ain't going to find me every week going on vacation and chilling and watching TV and doing nothing with this time I'm telling you about. I want it so that I can continue to produce so my tree can grow as tall as it can without competing with the lead branch. That's all I can ask you, Father, so if you'll help me. Now, he says, okay, we could do that, long life and my will. Now, I need you to have some faith. Faith is being sure what I expect. So now the question, are you sure? See, if I start going around talking about, man, I sure hope it worked out, then you ain't got faith yet. See, this is the difference. This is the difference. If I'm going around saying, well, you know, my daddy died, he was 86. My mama died, you know, she was 79. Well, my grandpa died, he was 80. Well, it don't look like we got much past 86 in us. Well, you know, I mean, I guess God could do it if he really wanted to. But my genes don't seem to have it. You don't have faith, sir. So you'll be laying there on the bed at 85. I knew it. I knew it. And then you're going to get there, and Jesus is going to be like, what you doing here? I'm going to say, Lord, I knew I was going to be here this time. He said, that's your problem. You knew it. You had faith for that. You did not have faith to go on. because you were never sure. See, this is what people got to understand. If I'm sick and I'm saying, well, I got faith to get healed, well, now you got to stay in that word till you are sure. Now, it's nothing wrong with hoping that God will do it. Nothing wrong with believing with mental assent. But I'm saying if you want faith to start operating, you got to understand. And it ain't about God doing it, because God is going to do what he does if you stay with him. See, this is what he said. The problem is that what? Double-minded people are unstable and they don't get anything, because the devil keeps taking you in faith and out of faith. In faith, out of faith. In faith, out of faith. So you can't receive. Look, the angel's on their way, and then you go this way. And the angel's like, oh, well, I guess we might well go back. And then some of them, it's almost like red light. Y'all remember that? 1, 2, 3, red light. So here come the angels, you know. They like, on their way, because, boy, you got it. You praying today. Yeah, we coming with it. Red light. What you mean you ain't sure? What you mean? The devil hits you with something. See, that's why he do it, because he see him coming. He like, oh, no, I got to do something. Boom. He hits you, and it's like, oh, see, I knew God didn't really love me. And I was trying to hold on, but it just, see, it don't work. Red light. Bible says I got to stay steady. Watch this. It rains on the just and the unjust. Jesus said that. Don't take the class. Why do it rain on the just? I don't know. God didn't say it rains on the just and the unjust, and it rains on the just because we don't teach that class here. Let me tell you the class we teach. The rain fall on everybody. And then what we teach next is, if you build your life on a rock, Jesus said, if you do what I tell you, you're like the person who builds your life on a rock, so that when the rain come and the flood come and all the rest of that stuff come that's coming to everybody, your house still standing when it's over. We take that class here. Yeah, I don't care it rained on you. I ain't care you got sick. I don't care what happened to you. When it's over, I'm telling you, if you have built your life on Christ, when it all settled, your house going to still be there. And people going to be looking and saying, how you did that? I ain't do it. That's the lead branch. The lead branch is doing his thing. I'm just following. I ain't nothing I can do. I don't know nothing like that. I'm just following, letting him prune, letting him purge. All I know is I can receive from God if I have the faith to do it. But I got to be sure. Sure. This is why sometimes I tell people, if you're sick, you got to get the Bible, find every scripture in there. Go find a scripture. Look and see where Jesus didn't heal nobody. Now, you can talk to a lot of preachers in churches. They'll tell you. Well, God heal who he want to. Well, okay. What version of the Bible are you using? That's all I ask them. Just help me. See, because if I could find that in the versions of the Bible I read, now they got so many, now ain't no telling what you're going to find. But if you just deal with some of the normal versions of the Bible, you don't find Jesus ever going up to anyone or somebody coming to him saying, heal me, Lord. And he says, not quite. There's something going on with you or your life or your parents or something about this, and I'm not going to heal you. Jesus said, have faith in God. Don't have faith in faith and believing that you can overcome anything, because that's just a disaster waiting to happen. I can do anything. No, you can't. See, that's a lot of world lives and how the world does, and they accomplish a lot of stuff. Look at Steve Jobs. But then he got pancreatic cancer they couldn't resolve. Another guy that I knew had all kind of money. Then he got a brain tumor. The money, they couldn't operate on him. Then, you know, so all these people, they do amazing things in the world and got all kind of money and inventions and stuff. And then something happens that their money or nothing else can control. Faith is being sure of what you expect. See, when you think about it like this, see, this made me go sit down many times with stuff that I was saying to God I believed. I remember when we started the church, and I would be in there sometime, and like I told y'all, there ain't nobody show up. And I'd be in there, and I'd be like, God, why? Because you could look down the street, Bobo done blew up. Got 8,000 people running all around through the parking lot. You see, they just ain't great. I do everything you tell me. Oh, God, help me, help me. He said, I'm helping you. Get up. And I'm going to need you to go right back to what you got to do. Now, are you sure of what I told you? Because remember what you told me. Remember what you said, people. You would tell people. I would tell people, you know, God told me to teach people faith. Now, right then, you should have known. That's like God saying, you know, I'm going to want you to train people to be an MMA fighter, Jimmy. But you don't ever want to get your teeth kicked in. I'm an MMA fighter, trainer. Ain't never got kicked in the head. Ain't never got knocked down. Ain't never had nothing happen to you. But you finna train them to go in there and confront that. But here you are, talking about I told you to go teach some people about faith. And you whining down here about something you know I supposed to do. You said it, I ain't did yet. What that got to do with faith? You just got kicked in the mouth. Oh, that's what that was. That's what that lesson is. Okay, Lord, all right, I got you. I'm good. You show you good? You see, because you got to understand. And one time I remember saying to him, Lord, if you just give me one member, while my blood was still running my mouth, just give me one member. I know you want me to be a pastor. Okay, so that was a couple hundred members ago. So what? You shouldn't really be looking at anything other than what you know you heard God say to you and what you understand. Now, you may not know when, you may not know how, you may not know what, but are you sure of what you expect? I've said before, I remember going to a pastor once. I wanted to quit so bad. I just had all like a stand. I said, I don't know why I'm in this MMA training. Can I do something else? Maybe I could be a financial advisor or something. I don't know if it... Teach people how to make money that way, because MMA training is rough. You can keep getting kicked in the head. My goodness. And I went to see a pastor. I mean, he had thousands of members. And I went in there. I had confidence in him, because I know he hears from God. And I believe it to this day, he does. I went in. I told him everything bad that was going on, the whole terrible story. And he looked at me, and he put his head back. And I said, yes, here comes the word I've been waiting on. He said, you know what I just heard God say? I said, what? Walk by faith. Pow! Just wanted to shoot myself. That's what I've been hearing God say all along. What's this walk by faith stuff? Come on, man, let's get with it. And God's like, we are getting with it. I'm going to cut that off. I'm going to cut this off. Anything to make you think that, whether it's a number or anything that makes you think that's got anything to do with me, cut that off. I'm going to cut this off. I'm going to cut that off so that when the time comes, you are able to be straight, shoot the word for what it is. We do not worry about what the people think about what's being said. You got to say what's true, because only the truth will set them free. Now, they might all run off, but the reality is you got to be strong enough to say, I wouldn't care if I lost every follower. I ain't even on Instagram. I ain't on Facebook. I ain't nowhere. Now, and if you are, that's fine. But if I lost every follower because of what I said, too bad. Goodbye. Because Jesus is the head leader in my life, and he's already taught me this, you see. So I don't need to commit suicide because 3,000 people left, because I'll just be back to where I started. But I got busted in the head enough to understand this ain't about popularity. This is about truth. Do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want to be free? Or do you just want to die for what you believe truth is? Faith is being certain. You got to be able to look at people in the face and say, look, if you want to be healed, God will heal you. Stop letting them people tell you all that stuff. Pray, well, if it's the Lord's will. You're going to die talking like that. If it's the Lord's will. I got it if it's the Lord's will. But if you go look in the one place James said that, let me go do it. So they'll know I ain't making this up. Ooh, I didn't give them this scripture. It's in the book of James. Let me go over there right quick so y'all understand what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm trying to get you to understand. You got to be aggressive with the devil, because he ain't playing. He going to lie to you. He going to tell you God want to kill you. He going to tell you it don't matter. God don't care. God don't want to heal nobody. He's just a liar. Now, let's go back over here. Look at this, what it says. Mm-hmm. Where is it? I want to find it exactly where he said it. All right. Here we go. In James chapter 4, and this is in verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13, he says this. Go to now, you that say. Now listen to who he's talking to. Bring it into context. Listen to who he's talking to. Go to now, you that say. Because remember we said, whatsoever thing you say. For he says this. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in all your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Now, what that got to do with you saying, I know the Lord wants to heal me. Because in the very next chapter, he says this. James chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing song. Is any sick among you? Let him ask the Lord if it's his will to heal him. That ain't what it say. That's not what it say. Go ahead over there to James 5, verse 14. Look what it say. I ain't make that up. It's in the same chapter after this one right here. So if you saying you know God want to hear you would be boasting, then why would God ask you the question? Is there any sick among you? Look at it right there. But let me tell you what ain't going on. Yeah, I ain't got to tell you. Look at it. Let me tell you how many times people call me talking about, Elder White, I'm sick. I need you to anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith. I very seldom get calls like that. I may hear about people being sick. They tell me I'm sick. I pray. We pray for them and stuff like that. But them look like some specific instructions. They'll be like, you know, last night, we bought a package thing where people can't steal your packages. Because, you know, bro, you put it on the porch, you take them. So I'm trying to put the thing together. I'm like, man, I can't stand this. But if you don't follow instructions, you put it together backwards. It's like, oh, the package can't go in there. That's because it's backwards. Look at the instructions. So here are instructions. It is sick among you. Let him call for the elders of the church. So if I don't ever do that part, there is some reason to believe that it's possible that I might have missed something in certain areas. That don't mean that I can't be healed independent of that. But the point is that God makes it clear right here, healing is in my will. Now, y'all can make it what you want. I've heard churches even say, well, that was back then. What are you talking about? So in other words, when Jesus said, hey, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When Paul said that was back then. And you call on the name of the Lord today, we don't know what might happen. We can't say you're going to be saved. We'll try, but that was back then. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You can't take part of the Bible and say that was back then. The Bible specifically asks you the question, is anybody sick? Well, the first thing that say to me, this is why I try to tell people, and I'm going to close with this. I said, look, if I get certain things, I'm going to die hungry. I'm going to die fasting. You know, Jesus says sometimes these things don't come out by fasting and prayer. I said to him, ooh, I ain't going to know till it ever happens. I ain't planning it. I'm living like this. I said, look, I will not let cancer kill me. I'll fox it and kill myself. I'm going to fast myself to death. Nah, sure will. They say, you need to eat something. No, I don't. You already told me cancer going to kill me, but I ain't letting it. I'm going to fast myself to death. I'm going to just lay there. You need to eat some. I don't want nothing. What you want me to just eat so I can die of cancer? Forget it. I'm fasting. Believe God. And when I die, if nothing else, God will say, boy, I ain't lying, boy. You held on to that one, didn't you? Yeah, I mean, well, come on. What else am I going to do? I'm going to be going all around the country looking for whoever that elder is. I ain't lying, Jimmy. Where he at? What church do he preach at? They're going to say, Pastor done bought a bus, riding around with a sign talking about where is the elder? Why? Because he got it out of James. Somebody else said, oh, you're sick. He's looking for the elder. I'm going to go up to everybody's church. I'm here this Sunday. Look, can I get up there? See, they don't like to let you do that. You know, Jimmy, they don't like that because you be putting them on the test. Hold on. I'm going to sit over here for a second, Sean. See, be on the pew like that. And you know them when they come to your church. They be sitting there looking like, I'm ready when he asks for prayer. And you keep trying to hope. Oh, Lord, I hope you don't challenge me with this. And then finally, you know, they be like, see, I'm going to be that guy. Don't let nothing happen to me. Tell them I'll be here. I'm going to go to all them websites. Our church believe in healing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be right here. And when right before Pastor get ready to close, Pastor! That's when the ushers grab you, you know, because they think you're crazy and stuff like that. Don't grab me. Stop. Do y'all believe Jesus? And they're going to say, hold up, Pastor. What you doing? Let the man talk. So, Pastor, I'm just here. I have this in my body. The Bible says, James, I'm looking for that elder. Before long, they're going to have a warning sign. Here he come. And the deacon going to be stopping you at the door. But that ain't supposed to happen. But you see, think about all that's combined in this. Faith is being sure of what you expect. So not only should I be sure of what I expect when I pray, you should be sure of what you expect when you get prayed for. See, you shouldn't be standing there going, boy, I sure hope Pastor got something I don't know about. Pastor ain't got nothing. All I got is an expectation based on the word. Now, your expectation needs to be based on the word. And if both of them based on the word, we have the right to expect God to do something. That's just the way it works. And instead of blaming God, why can't we just be honest? Seriously, now, why can't we just be honest? You know, the man sitting there in his wheelchair, and I already know, man, don't pull that dude up. You pull that dude up and he fall down, guy one insurance going to have a problem with you. Dang, or he won't represent you. Because you jerked that man up out that wheelchair and that man fell down, hurt himself. You better be sure that man, that's all right. You keep on praying, looking for somebody that you can give a mystical prayer. You know, them, they the ones you can't really tell if something happened. Oh, yeah, I feel great. What about him over there?
Today, I just don't think today is wheelchair Sunday. Yeah, sure it's not.
See, folks, we got to be honest. See, if we're honest, that's how we get free. It's the truth. I said, man, look, I believe with mental assent that Jesus can get you out that chair, but I sure don't believe I can do that. I don't believe that I've come to a level of believing God enough that I could walk over there and just snatch you up out that chair like Peter said. Silver and gold have I none. I got a little bit of that. I can give you a couple dollars. But such as I have, I give unto you. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Boom! Did it happen? Well, that happened because they was apostles. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. He says, the faith that is prayed of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of faith. So the key is, are you abiding enough with Christ that what? The fruit might yield even more. Yeah, you see, some people just have, they okay. I mean, they watch a little time with God and they deal with it. But the question is, where you want to go? And that's all. So if I'm sick, I need money, I want my life to be a certain way, I got to do what the word says. I got to abide in faith and expect God's best. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you today.